Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. It happened so quick, so fast, seemingly out of the blue. Nobody seemed to have expected it. I'd like to run you through the developments as to what happened beginning with March 10. And here's an article by CNBC stating on March 10, financial regulators have closed Silicon Valley Bank and taken control of its deposits in what is the largest U.S. bank failure since the global financial crisis more than a decade ago. Breitbart added on March 10, the sudden implosion of Silicon Valley Bank is sending shockwaves through the financial system and the technology sector. The Guardian from England wrote on March 10, the troubles have raised broader fears that the recent increases in U.S. interest rates have affected the value of other banks' bond portfolios, which tend to fall in price when interest rates rise. The collapse of Silicon Valley pushed shares and of almost all financial institutions lower on Friday. That was at that time, a week ago. Didn't change much, as I will show you in a moment. It goes on to say, Silicon Valley Bank's failure arrived with incredible speed. Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Business Insider wrote on March 11, the bank's collapse was a byproduct of the Federal Reserve's hiking of interest rates by 1.700% in less than a year. The chaotic episode showed that the Fed's aggressive interest rate hiking regime could upend institutions that were once thought to be relatively stable. Finbold added on March 11, economist Peter Schiff has stated that the U.S. banking system is on the verge of experiencing a much bigger collapse compared to the 2008 crisis. Then we have the Daily Mail, writing on March 12. Chancellor Jeremy Hunt today warned of a serious risk to top British firms following the shock failure of a major U.S. bank. And then Newsmax cited Donald Trump as follows on March 12. We will have a Great Depression, far bigger and more powerful than that of 1929. As proof, the banks are already starting to collapse, he wrote. And yes, another bank collapsed, as the Associated Press reported on March 13. In a sign of how fast the financial bleeding was occurring, regulators announced that New York-based Signature Bank has also failed and was being seized on Sunday. At more than $110 billion in assets, Signature Bank is the third largest bank failure in U.S. history. The Associated Press then wrote on March 15. Stocks are back to falling on Wall Street Wednesday as worries worsen about the strength of banks on both sides of the Atlantic. Wall Street's harsh spotlight has intensified across the banking industry recently on worries about what may crack next following the second and third largest bank failures in U.S. history last week. Stocks of U.S. banks tumbled again Wednesday. And then another bank in danger. The Associated Press wrote on March 17, stocks are falling on Wall Street Friday as worries worsen about the banking industry and fears rise it could drag the economy into a recession. In Switzerland, Credit Suisse shares dropped nearly 8%. On Wall Street, shares of First Republic Bank sank 19.4% and were on the way to a 66% plunge for the week. The overriding fear is that the banking system may be cracking under the weight of the fastest set of hikes to interest rates in decades. Again and again and again, you hear that. Was that a wise decision by the Fed? Apparently not. It goes on to say, in the biggest picture, since 1870, there have been 14 big world recessions, all driven by wars, pandemics, and banking crisis. Banks have borrowed nearly, now listen to this figure, $165 billion from the Federal Reserve over the last week, in a sign of how much stress is in the system. And then CNBC wrote on March 17, Credit Suisse said it will borrow up to 50 billion Swiss francs, which is about $54 billion, from the Swiss National Bank. However, capital markets and stakeholders appear unconvinced. The bank's default risk has surged to crisis levels. Because the question is asked, well, how much can people still borrow until the whole system collapses? And then here's another one, already recently mentioned. CNBC wrote on March 17, stocks fell Friday as investors pulled back from positions in First Republic and other bank shares amid lingering concerns over the state of the U.S. banking sector. First Republic slid 20%, despite gaining nearly 10% in the previous session. The stock got a boost on Thursday, when a group of banks said it would aid First Republic with $30 billion in deposits as a sign of confidence in the banking system. But as I just said, you know, on Friday, it went down again. And so Bloomberg wrote on March 17, the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation stepped in and exercised unusual powers over the weekend to protect all depositors of both Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Typically, depositors are only insured up to $250,000. Now they are going to being helped by all. The problem is, how long can that last? Now, what does this all mean to you, looking at this horror scenario? Do you have to live in constant fear of financial ruin, of becoming homeless, of not having enough to eat, not having enough to drink, not having a roof over your head? You know, God is making us promises. Now, of course, we have to do our part, but God is making us promises. Promises of reassurance, promises of help. Let me just read to you a few of those. Here's one in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. And he said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Now the Apostle Paul is echoing this in his letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. He says, now godliness with contentment is a great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. Here is that word righteousness again. And godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. You see, David told us the following in Psalm 37 at verse 25. I have been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. In our context, in the context of this message today, how does God describe a righteous person? I'd like to turn to the book of Malachi, the third chapter, beginning in verse 8, and we read this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithe and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And then he says in verse 18, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Now, we have prepared a free booklet asking the question, tithing today? You see, many say, oh, well, the book of Malachi, that's just an Old Testament book for the Old Testament nation of Israel. They do not understand and realize that the book of Malachi is a prophecy for us today, because it talks about the return of Jesus Christ. It talks about the coming of the Messiah. So here is a very clear command by God to tithe and to bring him offerings. And looking at it all in a totally combined setting, that is what a righteous person is all about. So now, please ask if you're interested for a free copy of our booklet on tithing. And I am very confident that it will help you a lot, and also do away with any fears for the future. So thank you very much for listening, and this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.